Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Yeah, I think some it's pain tolerance and threshold. And so we'll just see. I don't know the medical terms that you're looking for there, John. I just get my cues from Nate and we go from there.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. You know, he was asked another question he didn't have an answer for. It was, how do you get a good price on a sled?
What did Sean McDermott say?
How, gentlemen, if you could answer this for me, how do you get a good price on a sled?
How?
You have to bargain.
I saw it coming as you turned your mic on.
I like that one a lot. You have to bargain. The only thing I don't like about it is it sounds like someone from Boston is giving the answer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where do you learn to make a banana split?
Where?
Sunday school. You don't like that one?
That's good, too. Well, that's not as good as the first one. It's good, though. You set the bar really high.
Yeah, the toboggan one's good.
With the toboggan one. 803-0550. You ever been on a toboggan?
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It's just a sled.
It's a big, long sled.
Yeah, that's all right. It's a long sled.
It's a big, long, vintage-looking sled. Yeah. And you could go down the chutes then, which are different than like just going down a hill. I don't know if I've ever gone on a toboggan on a hill. I've gone down the toboggan chute.
I confess to not knowing this because I moved here to Buffalo when I was 21.
Uh-huh.
Chestnut Ridge, okay. Is that the only one that's like the everybody knows this is the hill to go to when you're a kid?
Oh, no.
Is there a, what's the one?
Okay, so I'm a South Towns kid, and the South Towns are littered with those.
Yeah.
Yeah,
where
Elma Meadows is another one. Elma Meadows might, to me, be better than Chestnut Ridge.
Strap in and feel the G's kind of scenario?
Oh, yeah.
If you're like me and live out in the hinterlands, too, you just have them in your backyard.
Yeah.
Like, I would, there was a hill in my backyard where I could sled down it, and if the snow was good enough and it froze over the night before, if you had a good trail pack down, I could shoot off of a jump into the woods.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It was a little scary sometimes.
Sure. Because
you didn't know if you were going to hit a tree.
Listen, that's the thing about being a kid is you're not thinking about getting hurt. You're just thinking, how sick can I make this jump?
Oh, yeah. Or if can I get enough air?
Launch myself into some trees.
Can I get enough air to flip?
Yeah. Snow tube's the way to go, obviously. Speed per...
Snow tube? No. All I need is that cheap plastic.
They don't go as fast.
Sheet.
Doesn't go as fast.
You gotta know how to get low. You gotta get low on those things. You can get those cruising.
I don't know. I went on a tube last year down a hill.
Tubes are so
near
much
my
faster.
Girlfriend's house, and I almost went into the creek, like the frozen creek. I thought I was about to
tubes.
You guys think the tubes are faster?
Way faster.
No way.
You can put cooking spray on them and make them go even faster.
You gotta go down like it's what's the one where you go backwards? Is that skeleton or is that luge?
Skeleton, you go down head first.
Okay, so luge. When you like, you gotta lay back a little bit, your feet first. You gotta stay. You can get that thing cruising.
But see,
but that's like a luge where you're carving into the ice. No, I'm not. But in a sled, you're doing that style of the style there.
And when you're tall too, you can't lay down in a child-sized sled.
Well, I'm also not tall, so maybe that's another reason why.
I haven't been able to lay down in a sled since I was 14.
Tubes are way faster, in part because they also take small bumps better than a sled would. A sled gets knocked off course a little bit, where a tube is like taking one of those. It's like taking one of those boats in the swamps.
Yeah,
you can go over stuff, and you're not slowing down.
Another thing, though, that makes those more fun is because you get more wipeouts. At least more fun when you're a kid. You get more wipeouts because those things, if you do hit a bump, you're right. Like you could
spin out.
Did you guys ever have those sleds where you had two handles on each side and where there's a brake on each side so you could steer?
No.
Yeah, so you dig, like picture you're sitting down.
Sounds like a snowmobile.
And there's a handle on each side, and all the handle is it'll dig into the snow to stop you. But if you just hit one of them, it's kind of like a boat where you turn the rudder one way. It's like,
yeah.
You can carve left and right.
Just drift. Drift across the
hill. Pretty cool. And then if you're a true psycho, like really in for the thrills, you're willing to, as a kid, ride a saucer. The saucers are just, I mean.
Those, there's no controlling those.
No.
At all.
That's just insane. Dana in Canada. Hey, Dana, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
Morning.
Morning. Well, first of all, saucers are amazing.
They're fun. You're never controlling that thing in a million years.
Absolutely you're not. You're just at the mercy of the hill. Anyways, guys, please stop talking Mahomes up like he's the next coming of you know who.
He's not the next coming. He has already come. He's here.
I don't agree with you guys. I think if you put both those quarterbacks, same team, same roster, starting from scratch, now you'd have to go same year, but two different, whatever you want to call it, universes. I think Josh is a better all round quarterback. I can't stand Mahomes' little goofy little smirk that he's got on the sidelines. I absolutely hate the guy, but I don't think he's all that much better than Josh. And I hear you guys, everybody's talking all the time that it's him. Hey, he didn't win that last game. The defense won the last game. Tom Brady doesn't have 8 Super Bowls or 7 Super Bowls. I'm pretty sure that what's his name from Seattle has one of them because he couldn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch 3 times from the 1 yard line. It's not all about just Brady being the GOAT or Mahomes being the GOAT. I think Josh is a better quarterback when push comes to shove. I think he's more versatile and can do more.
Well, versatile is not better. And I think if you want to make the case that Josh is better, you can start to now.
Is it fair to say that this year,
yeah,
Josh Allen's a better quarterback?
I don't think you've been able to say that without sounding like a Bills homer until now. And now I think you can say it. This year.
Yeah.
And we'll see how the year finishes. We'll see where Allen finishes and if he gets the job done. The difference, like, this is the kind of thing that's harsh on Allen. But the difference between Allen and Mahomes is that the game against the Chiefs last year, Mahomes gets that done, and Allen didn't get that done. And it's not necessarily Allen's fault, because Diggs dropped the pass, but guess who else has had a lot of receivers let him down and drop passes? Mahomes! Mm-hmm. Tons! But what does he do on the pass to Shakir? If he doesn't make that pass happen, Mahomes makes the third down happen. He never doesn't make it happen. Almost never doesn't make it happen. And Allen, he rarely gets blame, and with good reason, he's rarely to blame. But, Dana, if you're saying, like, you don't see it, people treat him like the next coming, he's arrived, dude. In his first full season, he threw 50 touchdowns. He won the MVP. He has 3 Super Bowl victories. What do you mean you don't get it?
Yeah.
What don't you get? You're saying he's got a good system around him? I would agree. He's got a brilliant head coach. He's got a Hall of Fame tight end. He had a Hall of Fame receiver. They continue to try and put weapons around him, and they can't really find the right ones. Allen is definitely more versatile, but more versatile is not better. Tom Brady was not versatile. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. Who's a better quarterback, Tom Brady, or who's the most versatile of that era?
Vic.
Who's better? Like, versatile is not better. Now, all that said, right now, I think I'm ready to listen to it more than ever.
Yeah, me too. I think he looks different. I think he looks different. I think the offense looks different.
It's one of the reasons I, you know, we're on this wide receiver train all the time. I want to make sure I'm never asking him to do it with less than. Like the Chiefs have asked Mahomes to do it with less than, and he's gotten the job done multiple times with less than. So, thanks for the phone call, Dana.
I think both can be true. I think he deserves all that. He deserves what he gets on. He's won 3 Super Bowls. He's put up numbers. He's like all. There's no denying what he's done. If you also want to include, he has the benefit of Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. And I would add into that, like last year, he wins the Super Bowl because his defense held 4 really good offenses to almost nothing.
That's right. But check his record when trailing by 10 points. What is it again?
It's the only winning record ever, and it's
only person ever to have a winning record when trailing by 10 points.
It's by 10 games.
That's not about your defense.
Right, that's true.
I mean, your defense has to keep the scores close.
That's what I'm saying, though. He has both. He is great, and he is getting help. It's why they have 3 Super Bowls. He's not on his own.
And they're also getting every team to have brain melts when they play him. Hey, look, Deontay Hardy had a catch in this game.
I was thinking that this week. Like someone said that about the Denver guy who got pancaked on the field goal block. And I was thinking maybe this one example isn't great for that. But I wonder if there's like a Tiger thing that's going on here. Remember any golfer that played in that era? Would they talk now about that era, and it's like Tiger was just like, he would put your mind in a pretzel. You would show up and you would crack under pressure because he was right next to you.
True. That's always told as a story. How many majors did Tiger come from behind to win on the final day?
Oh, he never did,
I think,
right?
It was one.
Yeah. Right. But that's one specific thing. I mean, this could be long before that. This could be in round 2 that you're playing with Tiger and you just like, you fold because there's Tiger standing next to you. I don't know.
It's a good theory.
It's
a good conversation. And would say this, Dana, like Marvin, all right, I was going to go to your call. Right now, I think the conversation is as good as it's ever been. Alan, I know it's not always about QB wins, but Alan needs something on the resume more recently than made the 2020 AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm. Or the Madden cover.
Right. Needs something on the resume. And if you want to put that at his coach, you can definitely do that. Or the receiver that dropped one last year. Or, you know, on and on they go.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550.
Do you remember the end? We're watching the end of this game. Do you remember this play? I have no memory of this. I forgot.
How the Bills
I just watched Allen get sacked at the 2-minute warning on 3rd and 9. Tied 17-17. Like, wait a minute. How do they win this football game? And then there was a late flag. They called a roughing the passer against Karlaftis.
Was it cheesy? Was Allen diving and pointing at Karlaftis as he's falling to the ground?
You know, it's a good question, but they had him. Like, that's one. I'm just saying, I think the Chiefs do get more calls than other teams, but it's not all the time because there was a moment last year that the Bills won against the Chiefs where they got 2 calls that went their way.
Yeah, we're rewinding to see this.
This is not the play because this is 2nd and 10.
Allen throws it down the sideline, a prayer for
Kincaid, I think. Yep. Okay, so 3rd and 10, 2:17 on the clock. It's a tie football game. And Allen gets sacked.
It's a terrible call. They called roughing on that?
Yeah.
That's a horrific call. That is a horrific call.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
No.
And then they get the offside call later, too. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying the Chiefs don't get calls. They absolutely do.
I know.
Last year, the Bills did get 2 calls.
That call is... Wow.
I forgot about that.
It was going to be 3rd and 16, 3rd and 14.
No, it was going to be 4th. That was 3rd. They were about to kick a
45-yard field goal. 45-yard field goal, take a 20-17 lead. Instead, they keep the ball. Wow. That's an unbelievably bad call.
You get some of those once in a while.
Yes,
we haven't had a real soft roughing the passer, I would say, that broke the league this year.
This one should have. Oh, that's holding. They're holding Diggs all the way down the field. They didn't call that one. Jarius Sneed holding his arm the entire way down to the 1. Anyway, all right. Hey, it's Chiefs week. We're all out a little bit of next 3rd and 10. Allen, woo, gets away from a sack. Woo. All right, they end up kicking a field goal anyway.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So they take like. The penalty results in, like, 20 seconds difference.
Yeah, I guess it really didn't make that big a difference.
All right. And then T-Bass.
Still a horrible call. Still a horrible call.
Yeah, pretty bad. Extendo Sports coming up and off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's a great coach. He'll be a Hall of Fame coach. He already is, really, even though he's, you know, not retired yet. But listen, there's always somebody that you're trying to get past, right, to accomplish the goal that you want to accomplish. So I don't care what walk of life you're in or what sport, you know, you're in or whatever it is. There's always a challenge in front of you. It's just who that challenge is. And this week for us, it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott giving his roses to the Kansas City Chiefs. And, yeah, it's always a challenge. Mine's, you know, getting out of my warm bed on a cold day. It's a huge challenge for me, Josh. It's a huge challenge. You tell me it's not?
I mean, you're not wrong.
I wake up today, look at my weather app, and just, I sigh.
Buddy, it wasn't that cold this
morning. No, it wasn't that cold, but
it was colder yesterday.
It was cold enough.
I had like an inch of ice on my windshield yesterday.
Oh, that's the worst.
I sat in my car for like, I refused to scrape it. I was like,
are you somebody that keeps your scraper in the car year round? Okay.
It's really just because I have nowhere to put it in my house.
Mm-hmm. You just got to put it in the trunk. That's where you put it. You put it in the trunk.
I have like an SUV though, so it's like it's in the trunk, but I can still see it.
Mine's on the floor of my back seat. It does not move from there.
That's where it is right now, because now it's like, okay, if I get in the car and I have to reach for it, I don't have to, like, I can reach around behind and grab it, but I don't have to go into the trunk.
It threw me for a loop like 2 weeks ago. My girlfriend texted me. She goes, I got to remember to put my ice scraper in my car. And I'm like, what do you mean put it back in? It left? And
right.
She goes, yeah, you don't take it out. I'm like, why would I?
You have it for 7 months out of the year.
Yeah. Just like, keep it there.
But again, it's a where am I going to put it in my house? Like,
well, like I'm not going to put it on a mantle. I hate that thing.
Yeah, right.
It's a necessity.
I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in a closet and it's gone.
Or
it vanishes.
It's going to be a, oh no, I'm late for work and oh, I walked outside and there's snow on my car. But oh, look, my snow brush isn't in my car.
Yep. Always prepared.
Yeah, always prepared, because you never know.
Never say that about us. We're not unprepared.
What did they call that storm in October when we were like 6? A surprise storm?
I was going to say it was
I
just
always
the
just called it the October storm.
Oh, I thought it was called the October surprise storm.
I mean,
it probably was.
It could be both.
Surprise,
yeah. Like, but still, regardless, it's like, you know, they call it a surprise for a reason.
I like
you
to
always
got to
be ready.
They call it a surprise for a reason. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mark is on the line. Mark, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Going into this game, I kind of feel weird about it. I kind of, like a lot of people have been talking about on the radio, like the playoff game against the Chiefs is the one that matters. If we lose this game, my biggest concern is going to be that this team has the inability to beat a team with a winning record. Ravens, Texans, and now the Chiefs are probably who we're going to play in the playoffs. I think that's the biggest concern. I know we're getting healthier off the bye. I think that's the biggest takeaway. We got to this game healthy. After the bye, we get Milano back, Cooper, you know, our receivers back. But I just feel weird about this game. I hate the Chiefs. I want to hate them more than I do because they're so likable. Travis Kelce, as much as he kills us, he's likable on his podcast with his brother. That just annoys me even more. But, that's my biggest concern. We got to start beating teams with winning records. And I'm going to have to listen to you boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Yeah.
The hate thing is something that I've struggled with, too, because it's like you respect them, but you also don't want to. Like,
I'm kind of there.
Does that make sense? Like,
last year kind of got me there. We were talking about earlier this week of just last year's game in the regular season against the Chiefs and how poorly the Chiefs conducted themselves afterwards.
Yeah.
I kind of got there. I agree on the Kelce podcast, though. They are a very fun personality.
Is that more Jason Kelce, though?
I think it's both. I think both are a lot of fun.
I like Jason Kelce. I think he's a good guy. I think he's funny. He's hopefully going to be here this weekend. Obviously, he'll be rooting on his brother this time. Last time he was here, he went to the tailgates and did bowling ball shots and everything and got the whole experience. But
he seemed to enjoy himself.
Good. Convert him.
On the winning record thing, or playing teams with winning, beating teams with winning records. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their last one was week one against Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, Arizona's easily, like, if we're just going off of win-loss and your, you know, quote-unquote best win, it's, like, easily Arizona. Easily. Tennessee's bad. Jacksonville bad. Colts, their franchise.
Broken.
Broken.
Miami broken. Mentally. Miami broken.
Well, Miami maybe figured it out with that win over the Rams.
That's true, but it is the Rams.
And the Rams have also had a lot of issues this year where all of a sudden now it went from, like, that could be a fun game in L.A. to, are they actually that good? I mean, they had their full complement of weapons. Miami's not a good defense, and they handled them. So, I think to this point, the Bills have not really played a team with a winning record. But you also don't get to make your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten two bites of the apple with Houston and Baltimore. You could argue both times you just were not healthy.
Right. And you didn't have Khalil Shakir for both games. You didn't have...
Effectively didn't have Khalil Shakir for both games.
Right. You did have him in the Baltimore game, but he gets hurt. It just was like all over the place for the first half against Baltimore. And the Texans, I mean, that was also the whole, I don't really know how much it played into it, but the emotional aspect of it, of playing Stephon Diggs.
Nah, I don't think they played much into it at all.
I don't really think it
did
either.
Allen went 9 for 30.
Yeah, that's true.
No one was getting open. That was the game where they decided we are going to add a wide receiver. It just took a few weeks.
Took a week.
But it doesn't help. I mean, those games still happened. You still lost them.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the excuses are. You still lost them. And, I mean, even the Arizona game, we've talked a lot about slow starts this year. That was definitively one of their slower starts of the year, where they were down like 17-3 right before half.
I think that's the one thing, though, is like you can look at all of these games and say, yeah, like there's questions in there, but there's the one thing that's never a question is the second half comebacks or the second half turnarounds. Because obviously they didn't come back against Baltimore and Houston, but you could argue that if they would have been healthy, they probably could have came back against both.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at every single game, and I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the fact that you can always count on them to come back or at least attempt to come back and like show some life coming out of the locker room in that second half, I think that's something that's really important, and I think that's something that's really important in a playoff scenario.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not there yet, but in terms of, you know, let's say it's an Orchard Park home playoff game and all of a sudden you're down in the first half. Okay, cool. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Like that's the thing to me is it feels like that's the one thing that's for certain for the Bills this year is they've always figured out how to come back and how to come out and at least make it interesting.
Yeah, the third quarter's always been a very good quarter for them, specifically this year. But they do have one of the worst point differentials in the first half, but I think specifically the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
On Mark's point, though, especially bringing up playoff teams, this team has given me trust. I don't need to always see them play a bunch of great teams in a year and win them all the time. This team's going to win 11 to 14 games every year with Josh Allen, it feels like.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them beat 5-6 playoff teams in a year to think, oh, they're going to beat them. Are you sure they're going to do it in the playoffs? I've seen what this team turns into.
Yeah.
Coaching staff, that's a different conversation.
The players.
But the players specifically, I feel good mainly – the main character, Josh Allen, I've seen him turn into a superhero at times in the playoffs, making highlights that I will tell my kids about for years and likely start lying about the stats to make him a folk hero. Like the Pittsburgh run last year will probably turn into a 99-yard run by the time I'm 70. I'm just being honest. It probably will. Right. I think it was like 45 last year. It'll be 99. It's what's going to be.
I also think it's, you know, now is where you're really going to see what they can actually do in the next 4 weeks here. Because even though the Rams are a team with a losing record, like you've said, they had injuries. It's had a lot of problems this year for the Rams. So it's one of those where it's, you know how good they are.
You know how good they can be.
Right. But you're right. You know how good they can be, but they just don't look like that right this second. With the 49ers, they've gotten healthy. They're back. Kind of. Brandon Ayuk is still out, obviously.
He's going to be out for the year.
But it's still the 49ers. They still have all these different weapons. They still have that great system under Kyle Shanahan. That's still an important test. Obviously, the Chiefs. And then the Lions. I mean, the Lions, I think no matter who you put into the, you could put a super team between the Chiefs and the Bills against the Lions in the Super Bowl this year, and I don't think they'd win.
I'm very
The Lions
nervous.
Look unstoppable.
I'm very nervous about the Lions.
I don't really care if you lose them in the regular season. Because,
no, it's an NFC team. It really won't play any bearing on it. It's kind of the same with San Francisco.
I just don't think they're stoppable. They should not have the loss they have. Like they should be the only undefeated team in the NFL right now, in my opinion.
They did lose to Tampa.
They lost to Tampa by 4 points. I don't remember
rematch
why.
Of the NFC divisional game from last
year.
That's what
is that going to be a playoff game? Are they going to get to meet again in the playoffs?
Don't even know if Tampa's in a playoff spot right now.
That's true.
They are not. Yeah, they're 4-6. Never mind.
What happened in this game? Why did they lose?
I don't know. I mean, 2016.
Jared Goff threw 307 yards. He threw the ball 55 times.
They won a game where he threw five picks. Stats mean nothing to me anymore.
He also threw two interceptions in that game. Baker Finally Mayfield had him. An interception and a rushing touchdown. I don't know. I like I said, I don't remember that game, but the Lions are a team to me where it's like,
I also care so little about a game that happened in week two, like to now.
Fair.
Because
look at every team since. Look at every game since.
What I've seen from the Lions is they get turnovers, they score special teams and defensive touchdowns. They're incredible on offense. Even when, and I've brought this game up a lot this week, but even when their quarterback throws five picks, they are good enough to stay in a game and win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so well coached. They are so talented. They, to me, feel like they feel like what San Francisco has felt like for years in the NFC, which is head and shoulders above everybody. They might have some close games in the NFC playoffs. It will be stunning at this rate if they are not in the Super Bowl representing the NFC.
If you look at the Lions, though, compared to the 49ers, do you think the Lions won't have as much longevity?
No, I think they'll have more longevity. Their quarterback's better than anything San Francisco's had.
Right, but
I'm trashing Jared Goff with the five picks, but that.
But Jared Goff is also 30.
Cool. He can play with 35, 36. Absolutely. He's not mobile already.
That's true. He's throwing all those interceptions and they're still winning. So you're right.
It was not even that. It's not like he's losing mobility.
That's true. Because he's already not mobile.
He's a guy that I'm going to run your system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it well.
I look at them
they've got young offense. That's the biggest problem with San Francisco now, too, is their core's getting older.
Right.
They're getting injured more. They're getting older, where the Lions are just a younger version of them. And they run a very similar scheme. I mean, they have the two running back monster that is Jameer
Sonic
Gibbs.
And Knuckles.
Yes, Jameer
such
Gibbs,
a good
David
nickname.
Montgomery. They're so good, and then he's got young receivers too. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown's the best slot receiver in the sport.
Right.
Jameson Williams, when he is on the field, is an incredible deep ball receiver. Sam Laporta took a while to get going. He's finally getting going now. I mean, he's one of the best young tight ends in football. And then Gibson and Montgomery, as we already mentioned with running backs, are really good pass catchers. And I think Montgomery's a little bit older. Quite a bit older than Gibbs, but. Mm-hmm. They're fine there. They are the young version of what the 49ers were. I think they have more staying power, though. I barely trust their quarterback more than Jimmy Garoppolo or Brock Purdy.
The one thing, though, with the Lions is you're going to find out if it's Ben Johnson or if it's the Lions. When Ben Johnson leaves, you're going to find out if it's him or if it's the Lions that are the reason.
I want to be a fly on the wall. For like all of his interviews, because I feel like he's walking in and interviewing teams,
right?
Like that's what that's going to be. Is he's walking and going, "Why should I come here? Not why. Mm-hmm. Why should we hire you?"
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain teams I know that will not fly. Dallas, when they eventually fire Mike McCarthy, super's not going to fly. You got to be a yes man to Jerry. The Bears, even though they should be doing everything on heaven and earth to get him to come there, I don't know if that's going to really fly there because Ben Johnson does not fit. The Chicago Bears vibe, which they need to change because you're seeing it's ruining Caleb Williams. It's ruining an offense that has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
That's why I don't necessarily know if he's going to leave this year.
He's a guy that can wait for that perfect opportunity because he's kind of like Steve Spagnuolo. Like, Spagnuolo doesn't have to leave Kansas City.
His difference is I don't know if anyone's looking for him because how bad he was as a head coach.
True.
Johnson,
true.
I think, is just taking it as I'm that talented at my job. This organization, I know, strange because it's Detroit, has so much positive structure around it that I'm not going to tank a year and it'll be over for me. And I can wait for the job that will actually keep me employed for 15 years.
Right.
Instead of being, here for example, Brian Daboll, who goes to the Giants to effectively fix Daniel Jones, and now he might be put out to pasture because of Daniel Jones, who everyone knew was not a good quarterback when he was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he's going to be sitting there going, nope, I'm going to wait for the perfect one. Like Jacksonville, I would have told you maybe could be on there. Nope.
Not anymore.
I think because Trevor Lawrence just, I don't know if he's good enough. Caleb has the leeway of it's year one, Matt Eberflus, and you just fired an office coordinator that the Bears players can't stop trashing in the media in Shane Waldron. So maybe there, but they're like the only team I'm thinking of that like has like a realistic shot at hiring him. They're the only one.
Yeah.
And it's super fun because he is going to be like the star of the coaching carousel, and he may not even move.
Imagine if he went to Washington, what he'd be doing with Jaden Daniels right now.
It's the thing. You're seeing what Cliff Kingsbury is able to do.
And I think Kingsbury is like, he had a bad shake in
Arizona.
No,
he was terrible. I hate Cliff Kingsbury, man.
You really?
Oh, I think he's
doing great with Washington.
Yeah, he's doing, because he's a very good OC. I think he is.
Oh, as a head coach.
Yeah, I think he's
okay,
an abysmal head coach.
But, hey, listen, you put Ben Johnson there with another offensive mind like Cliff Kingsbury, mm-hmm. and that's just like, boom, two things coming together. Just, what is that? Would be amazing.
I like that we're saying all of this, and it could turn out to be he's like just a terrible head coach. And
yeah.
Just a very, and just a truly excellent OC. He could be a terrible head coach. We have no idea. And we may never find out, depending on.
Maybe he knows, and he's just trying to spare the NFL.
He's like, I'm going to keep taking interviews, but no, this is where I'm at. 803-0550, the number to call. Vibes check for Chiefs Week. We'll read your tweets as well after a quick timeout. And a reminder, coming up at 11 o'clock, Sal Capaccio joins the show for a better look at the Bills, with just a few more days until they host the Kansas City Chiefs, a 4:25 kickoff on Sunday. This is WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chiefs are basically the best third down team in the NFL on offense. And that's a large part of that is Mahomes being Mahomes. This idea that Mahomes is capable of simply turning it on when he needs to does appear to be borne out. First and second down, it's not going that well. Third down, Mahomes clicks into gear and goes, okay, let's keep the chains moving, and finds a way of making it work. So it's this weird dynamic now where the offense still isn't in sync all the time. Mahomes still isn't playing particularly well overall. But when it matters, is still making the plays.
Another chance for a Chiefs opponent Sunday to put that to the test. Sam Monson, our longtime guest on our show, speaking on Mahomes and the Chiefs' season. Patrick Mahomes threw 9 games, 9-0, 69.5 completion percentage, 2,208 yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Allen, not the same in terms of completion percentage, about the same when it comes to yards. One more game played, too, by the way, but Mahomes has only less than 100 fewer yards than Allen does through the air. 17-4, touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and Allen, always a threat on the ground, has 4 rushing touchdowns this year, which is not on the same pace as last year. He had 2 in the opener, and Mahomes on the ground this year has 1, but he's not the same, you know, runner.
Right.
He's dangerous.
Yes.
He runs in the playoffs. I've won a couple of bets on him rushing props in the playoffs. And that's in the air about Allen in this game. Is Jeremy made a smart point about it. Like how much Allen has run, you know, a lot against Kansas
City.
More than
10 each of the last 4 meetings. Or 5 even, I think it was.
And if that happens again, it'll tell you something about how seriously, of course they want to win, but just what the stakes are to the Bills on Sunday, because generally they really don't want him running that often.
His running was, you know, even a game that they were comfortably ahead a lot of in last Sunday in Indianapolis, his running was vital. I mean, not just the touchdown. Like the last drive where they iced the game, he got them out of, I think, a second and 19 running the ball. So, it'd be a stretch for me to say they wouldn't have won the game without it, but it certainly helped a lot. So maybe we're already to that ramping up. I don't know. We'll see how things change depending on how this game goes and what kind of race they're running.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Bill here. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, Bill. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to say something. Basically, there's been a few times in my sports watching where I've seen losses that were extremely devastating to the franchise because it just shouldn't have happened. The 13 seconds, not to rub it in, but that was one of them. The Seattle game where they had Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, tried to pass the ball against the Patriots, intercepted, lost that game. And the Leafs playing the Bruins, game 7, up by, I think, 4 goals in 10 minutes to go and choked that one up. And I don't know what momentum is. I know it when I see it. I can't describe it. But when these things happen in very big playoff games like that, it's an extremely hard thing to get off your back. And I know a regular season game won't do that for the Bills. It's going to have to be something where they're in a similar situation in the playoffs and they come out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is going to have to turn it for the Bills. And I don't think this game this week means anything. Actually, in the last 3 weeks, I've watched Kansas City late in games get multiple referee calls in their favor that gave them second and third chances. And they still keep winning. And I don't think that can keep up. I just think that at some point, they're not going to get those breaks. But that's my feeling, and I really like to see Buffalo get this off their back. But it's going to have to be in the playoffs, fellas.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. About that looming, I mean, it comes up. You know, sometimes we bring it up. Sometimes it's a caller that brings it up. It's in the flow of conversation. It's there. And one or both of us said it the immediately after that game happened. Like, we are going to be living with this until they win it. That's it. It's gonna be in the corner of every room, of every conversation we're having about them and our emotional attachment to them. It has a seat at the table, and we can't ask it to leave until we have to expunge it. It has to be exercised out of the room. And the way to do that, I mean, last year was a perfect example. On your home field, you've got the ball, you're in their territory, you're down by 3. Like, okay, here's your chance, do it. And they didn't. And so another year goes by, and we're here again. And yeah, and all of this is, you know, to some extent, it's just, we're just rearranging things and just put, you know, just trying to make everything presentable. Just get me to January so I can find out if this is the year I can just take that out back and bury it once and for all.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it until you win. Like, there's nothing,
right.
There's nothing you can do about it now, I guess. I mean, it really, though, it's an interesting point. Are there really, it's subjective. It's this caller's list of, yeah, that's not what should have happened in that game. And so, in my mind, it's like X number of times harder for the team that loses these famous games where you sort of blow it the next time. It's really entirely subjective. I'm sure it's just like these other things we mentioned even today already. If you thought about other famous losses, you know, what about the Red Sox in 03? Just trying to think of one.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone. Oh, well, not only is it that, but it's like 80 years of that.
Right.
They'll never do it. Oh, well, they did. I mean, just, I think there are probably tons of those that, I mean, the point kind of is, the caller didn't say it'll never happen.
Right.
But that's sort of the premise, is that it'll never happen because, like, the Leafs beating the Bruins, because when you got close, when you had your chance, that's as close as you can expect to come. Not to put words in his mouth.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I don't agree. I also just choose not to live like that. If the Bills beat Kansas City in the playoffs and the subject of 13 seconds comes up, if anybody takes the question, it will be about motivation. We got sick of talking about it and hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that it wasn't going away until we won, but it helped us to win. It helped us to, you know, we just got sick of hearing about all the times Kansas City pulled out these games. So is it one way or the other? I think it depends on which examples you look at.
Yeah, I definitely didn't, myself, get the feeling from that caller that he doesn't think it'll ever happen. It's simply, he's just rephrasing what we've been saying all week, which is you're not going to be able to do anything about it on Sunday. Okay. Sunday's not going to change anything. You got to beat this team in January, and that will and then actually win the Super Bowl too, I think. You know, even though they were still two games, you know, another game to get to before they could even get to the Super Bowl and win it, you know, there's a lot of assumptions made about how good they looked, and they're running so hot, so of course they would have beat Cincinnati and all of that. So until they beat that team in January, like they had the chance to do at home last year, that's why I'm saying that's going to be sitting at the table forever until that happens. When it happens, then it's over, I think. Like, it's just like, I'm done with 13 seconds, but you got to have a parade first. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting here feeling like that was our best look at it, and we didn't get it, and, you know, years are just flying off the calendar like in some old cartoon here, and that's, you know, that's our existence.
There's also an element of, what good does it do anybody to just keep thinking of that and talking about that? What good is that? Is it healthy? Is it helpful? You know, just you and I analyzing the situation do refer to that game, and it's not wrong to. But, like, again, if I'm on the team, I'm a part of this, I just don't want to think about that. Doesn't do anything for me. If it makes me more motivated, okay, but I'm a professional athlete, and I'm pretty motivated pretty much always. So I just, it doesn't help me, right? The Sabres in 98 is another one where they just, they always lost to Philadelphia. Going back a generation, which meant nothing to anybody involved except outsiders, they were just not going to beat Philadelphia. Like, all right, why not? Because they didn't in the past, and then they whipped them. You know, it evolves.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if the players on the team that were here, Josh Allen, for example, Sean McDermott, if they're walking around referencing it, having it come up the way it comes up for us. I think this is one very glaring example, in my opinion, of how different the existence of the people that are on the team, running the team, playing for the team, and us out here, how different the life is. Because I think if you're competing there, like, I can't know this, but I would be stunned if Josh Allen's walking on the field thinking, like, man, I sure hope we don't get beat late again. Like, that's not the approach. Fans, our anxiety, we don't have a chance to go out and throw passes to the wide receivers in practice and, like, blow off the steam that way. Like, we're just all pent up over here watching the games, living with the anxiety of this horrible thing is going to happen to us again. And, like, we don't know what to do with that. So it just comes spilling out in all these different ways. I don't think it matters to the competitors at all, really, that they haven't beaten that team in January yet. I think it matters vitally to us every time we talk about it. But I'd be surprised if the players are feeling it at all. I'm sure they're reminded of it, but I would bet they work to keep it over there because it's not helpful at all.
I think it would be work, though.
Yeah, you'd have to
an extent.
Sure, you have to make an effort. I mean, we have to do that in our lives with things that make us unhappy or bad memories or mistakes we've made. Like, I can't sit here bathing in every wrong decision I've ever made in my life that hurt people. I leave it over there because I'm trying to be good today. And I think when you're playing football or playing hockey, whatever, that's how you go about competing.
Well, that's how you'd want it to be. You know, that's what you'd strive for, I think. Everybody's different. Thurman with the anger he put toward right. every team they played because they didn't draft him. You know, everybody would be different in that way. I think for myself, I'd want to be what you're describing, which is it's just noise. Doesn't help me. Doesn't help me to focus to be right. my best right now in this game, in this moment. Shane is next. Hi, Shane.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. If like 10 years ago, I had texted all my friends and family and said like, hey, let's have a big party and watch the Bills game, they would have laughed at me. And I was telling my kids, like, this is the best time to be a Bills fan in probably 30 years. We were playing the defending Super Bowl champs and we're favored. Almost every game we're winning and we're favored. It's like really enjoyable. It's a great way to make a lot of memories with your kids. This is the best time since what? The early 90s? I mean, before this, the last 20 years, Buffalo was known as the place that drafted O.J. Simpson and went to 4 Super Bowls and lost. And now we have a superstar quarterback and a really great team. And it's just a great time to really be a Bills fan.
No doubt. Yep.
Hard agree. Yes. Without question. You know, even with the disappointment, it's still, like, to me, the it's the best. I mean, I wasn't on the radio for the Super Bowls. I started working at WBEN the year that the streak ended of them going to the Super Bowl. 94, I'm an intern there. 95, I'm on the radio.
Now we know whose fault it is.
Right. So I didn't get to enjoy that like this. So, I mean, yeah, here. It is. It's fantastic.
Matt Verderam coming up at 4 to break down this game. Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton today, too. Thanks for your calls. 803-0550 if you want to be next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women.
It is Football Friday, brought to you by Salina Law. Car crash, call Salina. By Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We check in with Chris Brown, who joins us at this time every Friday and Mondays as well to recap the games. Chris, good morning. It's Jeremy and Nate. Nate is in for Joe today. Happy Football Friday.
Yeah, morning, guys. Getting tuned up for this one.
When you look at the matchup, Chris, like I almost want to take it back to when last we left Chiefs-Bills. The Bills in that game controlled the clock, controlled the ball. They were efficient on offense, but they lacked explosive plays. They had none in the game. There were a couple big drops, of course. But I think about the arc of the lack of explosive plays in the game to the offseason being a lot about explosive plays and yards after catch. And I wonder how you feel like this new-look Bills offense, that they've gotten to that point where they're getting some explosive plays, they're getting lots of yards after the catch, what that means in a matchup with Kansas City.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because this is probably one of the better defenses they're going to face all season. And, you know, they haven't been facing the best defensive units the last few weeks. So I think we're not going to really know until we get there. And I know that's kind of a cop-out answer, but I was kind of taken with your description of Buffalo's offense from last year, because that is the Chiefs' offense this year now. Control the ball, control the clock, not a lot of explosive plays, although Xavier Worthy gives them one every once in a while, and basically play possession-style football. That's what the Chiefs' offense is now, which is crazy to think about. You just popped into my head as you were saying it. I was like, he's describing the Chiefs' offense this year.
And one thing they're doing, like, they're running it. They don't have a lot of explosive runs. It's their third down conversion rate, really, that kind of sets them apart from a lot of teams, how good they are converting third downs. So, I mean, third down is often a very big down to play in games like this, but would imagine the Bills' defense paying a lot of attention to what it is the Chiefs do so well on third down.
Yeah, we can try to decipher and dice up all the different things. It's Mahomes. I mean, the guy just extends stuff. It was funny because Taron Johnson was asked about, you know, the Chiefs' third down prowess, converting at a rate of 52%. And he just looked at the reporter and said, well, their quarterback kind of just extends stuff and lengthens the play until somebody's open.
And that's the main thing here. I mean, yes, Andy Reid will scheme up some plays here and there that are designed to get players open so it's easy for Mahomes to execute, but whether he's using his legs to gain yards, you know, on a scramble or just getting out of the pocket and lengthening the play until somebody comes free, he is an expert at doing that, and it's the reason you can't get them off the field. I mean, they lead the league in time of possession, just over 33 minutes a game. The problem for them has been in the red zone. You can't get them off the field until they stall in the red zone. And last week was an example of that against the Broncos. They're kicking short field goals, you know, the whole game, and fortunately they're able to win 16-14. I think the Bills would be very happy to take that defensively. If they can't get them off the field, at least do what they've done very well this season, which is force teams to take field goals or even get a turnover on downs when defending their red zone.
Chris Brown joining us ahead of Bills Chiefs. You know, Amari Cooper looks like he's trending to play. He sounds like he's trending to play. Given the injury, given the amount of time he's been here now to kind of get into this offense, what do you think is fair for Bills fans to expect out of Cooper once he is up and running?
Yeah, I mean, I think this first game back, if he does in fact play, I don't know that you should expect much more than what you got from him in the Titans game, which, you know, I think people would be very happy to see. What was that, 4 catches for 60-something yards and a touchdown? I don't think that's unreasonable to expect, but, you know, he's had a 2-week layoff, and now he's playing a top-flight Chiefs defense. It'll be interesting to see how they deploy their coverage players, you know, especially if Kincaid doesn't go. McDuffie has lined up outside more since they lost Jalen Watson to a knee injury, who was one of their starting outside corners. So McDuffie has been outside more. They've used one of their backup safeties, Shamari Connor, in the nickel in the slot. So some of the matchups might be a little different than what Bills fans are accustomed to seeing. But Shakir draws attention. So I'm very curious to see how they decide to cover up people, especially if Cooper is playing, because I think that forces them into a decision. Do you want to put McDuffie on Cooper, or do you put McDuffie back in the slot where he's been an all-pro and say, just take care of Shakir and let's see if somebody else can beat us?
I wanted to ask you too, Chris, because in the last matchup in the regular season last year, I thought the Bills really utilized James Cook in the pass game really well. I think that's, if you're the Bills, probably the matchup you're looking to exploit the most defensively here, and, you know, try to win over the middle of the field. That's where the Bills really want to win anyways. And for me, if you can get James Cook lined up against these linebackers, I said this to Jeremy earlier too. I watched yesterday Washington line up in a ton of two-back sets, and I wonder if that's something the Bills try to do this week as well, especially if Kincaid, obviously no Keon Coleman, if Kincaid can't go, I wonder instead of running out more 12 with Quentin Morris, maybe they run some more two running back sets to try to, you know, create some matchups for them.
Have you been listening to One Bills Live for the last few weeks? I've been pounding the table.
I have.
For a pony package for two back sets with Davis and Cook. And I think that's something you could even conceivably run out of their 6 offensive linemen looks. You don't necessarily have to go 2 back, but I was very interested last week to see the Bills go 2 tight ends with 6 offensive linemen. So you have 7 guys up on the line. It's a run-heavy look, and then they ran play action out of it. And that was very effective against the Colts at the second level in the passing game. And I wonder if they utilize some of that, because typically when teams go 2 tight ends, the Chiefs do bring the third linebacker on the field, Chanel. And if you do that and Cook is on the field, immediately pulling him and having him run around, because him on Chanel, that's a win every day. So if their personnel groupings, whether it's with 6 offensive linemen, 2 tight ends, or even 2 backs, I'm all for it. Because I think that is a way you can get mismatches. And if you're still shorthanded at receiver or Kincaid is down, you should use Cook in the passing game more. I've said it 100 times. He is the most dynamic athlete on offense, maybe with the exception of Coleman, who you don't have right now.
Chris Brown ahead of Bills Chiefs. Chris, how about the emotion for this game? I was listening to you and Steve talk about this. You know, the players, the coaches, they can talk a good game on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, it's just a game. It's just a game. Sunday, 4:25 at home. The atmosphere will be supercharged. And I wonder what Sean McDermott's message to his team might be from an emotional standpoint.
I think it's going to be, don't jump out of your skin. You don't have to say much to get these guys motivated for this one. The Chiefs know them. They know the Chiefs. There aren't any surprises, but holy cow, what's on the line this week, you know, with an unbeaten team coming into your place. If you're not charged up for this one, you don't have a pulse. I think the challenge is going to be, let's just make sure I'm not stuck to the ceiling going into this game and I can focus on what my assignments are. That used to be a major concern with Josh for games of this nature. So I think I want to believe he's past that, especially with the very deliberate way in which he's made decisions in the passing game this year. I think he has taken his game to a different level. There's a philosophical shift in the offense, but is everybody else okay? Like, we don't need people going, you know, off the rails here because they're so charged up and want to rip somebody's face off. So I think they got to keep the emotions tempered and in check so they can play aggressive but under control, if that makes sense.
Kickoff Sunday, 4:25. Chris Brown, he'll have the call with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio. Chris, thanks, and we'll be listening.
All right, enjoy the game, guys.
Chris's appearance here on WGR on Football Friday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women. Back in the snap, that'll be brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker. Pleased to be joined by NFL on CBS studio analyst, former NFL quarterback and MVP Matt Ryan joining the show. And you're going to be able to catch Matt Ryan and the rest of the NFL today, guys, live from Lot 6 at Highmark Stadium at noon before the Bills take on the Chiefs at 4:25 on CBS and Paramount+. And I told Matt before we came back from break here that they're already putting the set together. They started this morning. And Matt, I got to tell you, you're worried about whether there's going to be people. You're going to be begging that there's fewer people. You're going to need crowd control over there, buddy.
Yeah, we'll get Tasker out there to control the crowds. Yeah. That could help us out or something like that. But it's going to be fun. We're all excited to be coming up there. It was one of my favorite places to play in the NFL, and never experienced the tailgate or anything like that. So looking forward to seeing the fans and feeling the energy outside the stadium.
And this is no small thing. I mean, you said it yourself when we're sitting here waiting to go on. This is, like, so far anyway, this is the game of the year. I mean, the Chiefs undefeated, the Bills really making a shot at getting the one seed if they can beat them this week and then kind of keep things rolling. It's a rare thing to bring you guys out of the studio in New York and get you out on location. What's the atmosphere like around CBS, and what are your cohorts thinking about this matchup and how it's going to go?
Yeah, we agree. We think this is the game of the year. And about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting in one of our production meetings on a Sunday morning, and our crew kind of told us we were thinking about doing this because, you know, both teams were on this collision course for this game. And so we're excited to get out there. The energy is going to be awesome. But, you know, really on CBS, I mean, it's an unbelievable setup this weekend. During the 1 o'clock window, we've got the Ravens versus the Steelers kind of leading up to that 4:25 game of the Chiefs and the Bills. So a great weekend all around in the NFL, culminated by, in my opinion, the game of the year so far.
All right, so I got to ask, because I'm curious if you've been given the 411 on this. You guys are obviously going to be out there doing your regular pregame, which leads up to the 1 o'clock slate. The Bills aren't playing until 4:25. So where are you watching the 1 o'clock? Do you get to go in the CBS truck? are they going to find some venue for you? Are you hopping in one of the local watering holes? Where are you guys watching the 1 o'clock games?
Well, as much as I would love to hop in one of the local watering holes, I still got work to do at that time, coming off for halftime and kind of any updates that we've got to do during the course of the game. But hopefully we'll be able to get out into the parking lot a little bit, feel the energy. But we'll be in the trucks watching the 1 o'clock window games, and then, you know, in on the field at halftime and post game for the Bills Chiefs. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to being in the stadium for a bit and you know, feeling that energy. But I was thinking about going to that spot, Steve, where we went one night for dinner. I can't remember what those sandwiches were called, the little roast beef.
Beef on Weck.
Those were pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't take your jacket off without elbowing a place that sells beef on Weck here. So I got to ask you, though, this game, you've seen it. We're looking at, really, we've been talking about a little bit of slice of history. You got a two-time defending world champion, and then in the third season, coming back after winning two Super Bowls, the Chiefs are undefeated. I mean, this is a moment where we have not seen a team sustain this kind of great play for this long. Now, they're winning games, but it doesn't look the same as it did when they were high flying, you know, 2 years ago when they were throwing it all over the yard. What are your thoughts about this Chiefs team and maybe where their place in history might finally end up?
Yeah, I mean, they remind me a lot of kind of that mid 2010s Patriots too, right? Where, you know, they find ways to win along the way, and you look at them during the season, and you're wondering, you know, how they're doing it. You know, but defensively, they're very solid, and that's the thing that travels every week, right? That keeps you in ball games. They do a really good job on the defensive side of the ball, and then they know how to finish. I mean, offensively, you've got one of the great closers of all time in Patrick Mahomes. But there's a belief, you know, you see it last week with the way they go out there. They collapse that, you know, left side of the line of scrimmage on the field goal and go get that block. There's just a belief within that building that they're going to find a way to get it done. And I think their identity right now is that of finishers, right? They're going to kind of jab the whole game, kind of exchange jabs with you the entire game, and then deliver that knockout at the end with one play or two. And so I've been really impressed with them. I think they're trending offensively, at least prior to last week, they were trending offensively in the right direction, played well, you know, against the Raiders, played well against the Buccaneers. I think the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, which we see on the screen right there, he's been big for the Chiefs offense, specifically on third down and in the red zone. I think that's the area, if you're a Bills fan and you're watching, you want to be able to shut down DeAndre Hopkins down in that red zone. I think, in my opinion, this game comes down to the Bills defense holding Mahomes and the Kansas City offense to field goals when they get down there in the red area. If they can do that, I think it gives them the best chance to win.
Yeah, Bills have been a top 10 red zone defense all season long. They've also been darn good at taking the ball away. I mean, number one in the league in turnover differential, second in total takeaways with 19 through 10 games. They've gotten at least one in every game they've played this season. And Mahomes got a few more interceptions than we've seen from him in recent years, trying to make things happen, presumably more than anything else. The thing I marvel at, though, Matt, and you can probably appreciate this as a former quarterback, is their efficiency on third down is ridiculous. 52% conversion, it leads the league. They're leading the league in time of possession. I'm thinking the Bills and their takeaway prowess is going to have to be present in this game to give their offense a couple of more possessions than the Chiefs so they can't deliver the knockout punch.
Yeah, I mean, we all know it's the number one metric in terms of statistics for winning ball games is takeaways. Takeaways and explosive plays, those two rank one and two. So to me, it is about, you know, can they turn the football over, you know, and steal some possessions? Because you mentioned it, their time of possession, they shorten the game. And that's kind of been one of their keys to success in this 9-game win streak is they're playing short ball games, limited possession ball games. And so, you know, you'd love to see, if you're a Bills fan, them getting some turnovers, creating some short field opportunities for Josh and the offense. But I think they're doing a better job with it. I think it's been less reckless the last couple of weeks in terms of the turnovers, right? And so I think it's going to be, you know, it should be a great matchup, a ton of fun to watch, you know, but we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
Matt, travel safe, and we'll see you up here on Sunday. Good stuff.
Appreciate you guys. Looking forward to being there Sunday.
All right, safe travels to you, Matt. Thanks for the time, as always. That is former NFL MVP and one of the analysts on the NFL Today, the pregame show on CBS. They will be out in lot six for the games starting at 12, leading up to
really
the 1 o'clock window games.
He really did ask it like at noon. He was worried that, I hope sweet people are going to be there. Like,
I was like, dude.
I'm like, dude, they're there already.
You're going to have too many people there. You're going to need crowd control. Because
the game's at 4:20. His thought was the game's at 4:25, and they're going to be doing the show at noon, you know, through 1 o'clock. He's gosh, we'll see. Yeah, I'm like, dude, bro.
He's used to the Atlanta tailgate scene, and I'm just going to tell you it's in stark contrast because where that stadium is situated, there are all these different thoroughfares. Overpass and raised highways going all around the stadium, and it just chops up the whole tailgating areas in Atlanta. You have lots that are in and around the stadium, but none of them are together. They're all disjointed.
And here's the thing, too.
These little pockets of tailgaters.
You get into a place like in a Buffalo or a Green Bay, a Chicago.
Even Kansas City.
Right. Here's what happens. One of the reasons people will tailgate is the fact that the stadium's outdoors. If you have a dome, people go inside.
Yeah.
If the Pagula family and Erie County and if they would have built a dome here in Buffalo, sooner or later, the entire thing that we know is this it would have evaporated because
the tailgating.
Yes, because people would just go inside for the game, as particularly late in the year, and it's just even on nice days, you know, they're. As soon as they can, they'll be headed inside. It's a little bit different. Outdoor stadiums lend them, and particularly like venues like this one here in Buffalo, where there's neighborhoods and you got plenty of space, and it's like all about it. It's perfect for it, and I think it will be perpetuated in large measure because the outdoor stadium is going to stay outdoors. You like it or not? I know
a lot of people.
I've seen it in other places, but a lot of people wish they had a dome, and I get the theory behind it, particularly late in the season. But I think it would cost us if we did it.
Yeah.
In unforeseen ways.
I just found it humorous that he was like, well, you know, we're on at 12. Is anybody going to be there?
Dude.
I was like,
You're going to have a hard time getting here.
I said, back when we had a camper lot, because we don't have one right now, due to the construction. But back when we had a camper lot, those people are rolling in today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's a four-day weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are people going to be here? Matt.
Trust us.
He's such a neophyte with that. Unbelievable. Well, yeah,
people don't know. They don't know. A game like this?
Yeah. And he rarely even got here as an Atlanta Falcon. He only played here once every 8 years.
Right.
So, and even one of those times, I think he was injured and didn't play. So, yeah, he just hasn't experienced it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, no.
So
it's all right.
You know, we don't fault you.
It's not his fault.
But he apparently is a big fan of Beef on Weck. He was up here in the summer.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, our good friend Andrew Catalan, who's also on the NFL on CBS, he does our preseason games with Steve.
Wasn't
and Matt Ryan.
Two summers ago.
Or was it two?
It was two summers ago.
He
did one season in
so
the
booth. So he was new to CBS, recently retired.
Right, just retired.
And he wanted to kind of get the feel for the ebb and flow of the broadcast, so he wanted to see you two guys in action here. Mm-hmm. And Andrew was nice enough to invite him to come up. And so, yeah, you guys kind of took him around town. And
right. Played a round of golf. And
did a little beef on Weck.
And had some beef on Weck, obviously wings, and we took him around this place and showed, and he was in the booth with us for the game as well. And he wanted to see how it was done. And of course, I've been doing it for 20 years with CBS and with Andrew Catalan as well. Andrew's, you know, top notch guy with them. So he wanted to, and he did one full year in the booth with Andrew. And then, of course, they shook things up at CBS. Now he's in the studio.
Yeah. Gotta
take. He's a great dude.
Yeah.
He's a really great dude.
Gotta take a break here. When we come back, one final segment for you as we tell you what's coming from the coach's office. We'll break that down next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
He's a great coach. He'll be a Hall of Fame coach. He already is, really, even though he's, you know, not retired yet. But listen, there's always somebody that you're trying to get past, right, to accomplish the goal that you want to accomplish. So I don't care what walk of life you're in or what sport, you know, you're in or whatever it is. There's always a challenge in front of you. It's just who that challenge is. And this week for us, it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sean McDermott on Shane Steichen.
What's that now?
Sean McDermott on Andy Reid. Can you believe the Colts?
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
They are the Colts.
They have a somewhat, what word do I, not crazy, mercurial owner.
That's a very nice word.
Is what they have there. So, yeah, I mean, yes, I can believe it. I mean, we got to go to Flacco. We have a chance to be a playoff team. Flacco turns it over four times himself on Sunday against the Bills. You know, I guess maybe that's enough of that.
I couldn't wait to hear the explanation. And what it was that Anthony Richardson has made such outstanding progress in his preparation and off-field work.
Right.
Like in the last 2 weeks, but probably in the last week, or probably not at all.
Yeah, I'm going to go with probably not at all. I think, let me circle back here. Did I mention the four turnovers? What did Anthony Richardson improve? He didn't turn it over four times and cost them the game on Sunday against the Bills. That's what he didn't do.
What a lonely spot for that coach. Just
yep.
Being told who to start and sitting up there saying, it's my call.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say the exact opposite thing on Monday? It just, I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it. It's what you should do.
Sure. And
Flacco,
you know,
wasn't good either. So
if you know, now I tweeted this earlier today, like we're at, you know, whatever the strings are being pulled by the owner, but I mean, the coach has got to be on thin ice there. And, but if Richardson shows progress, if there's promise there, then you're like, oh, look, it's working. Program, my coaching, this whole thing, like that could save him. I think that's we've got a man who is being overwhelmed in the waves right now, and Richardson is now his life preserver. That's basically what Shane Steichen is right now to me.
Crazy. You know? Here's Mike with us. Hello, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great, thanks, Mike.
Hey, great to be on. Long time listener and big fan. Thanks to the Odyssey app down here in the Carolinas. So hey, listen. Maybe it's just me reading into this this vibe with, you know, some of the folks that cover the Bills, certainly some of the fans, but I get the sense that we're sort of okay with the outcome of this game, regardless of how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. Win or lose, you know, doesn't really mean anything. We're going to probably see him in the playoffs again and all that. And I know the team's not thinking this, so but I just feel like it's just such misplaced commentary that, you know, It almost doesn't matter what happens this weekend, when in my mind, it matters a ton, right? Like, we need this win because we may not catch them for the one seed, and we absolutely need the two seed, and a loss here to Kansas City, probably another loss or two the rest of the way, right? And all of a sudden, we're the four seed, maybe going to Arrowhead in round two of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. It's just,
I don't understand it. Like, I'm just picking up. Maybe I'm wrong. Call me crazy. But we need this win. And it doesn't matter if it's the Chiefs or not. Every win matters. We've got to show up. We've got to be able to, you know, get a bit of the monkey off our back from last year and just continue to build on the confidence of this team. So love to hear your thoughts on it. But maybe, like I said, I'm reading this whole thing wrong.
No, I don't think you're reading it wrong. I think you're kind of on it. From both sides, you know, sort of your evaluation of what you're hearing and then like, okay, well, what's important? It's just, I think, while it doesn't include the one seed, the Bills have gone out in the playoffs in different ways now. They've lost in Kansas City. They've lost here to Kansas City. They've lost here to a team that isn't Kansas City. You know, it's just, with each passing year, it's more, let's just get in and find out.
Right.
And Kansas City won it from the three. Like, it's just not as important to everybody where you line up. I don't think the four is going to be in play, but it may be. There's so much season left that it could be. I don't think the Bills are likely to end up that low. But, yeah, I think, of course, to get the one, you have to win here in this game. And that's enough of a reason to really want it. And you have the history with these teams. They're fun to play. They're fun to beat. You know, knock off an undefeated team in week 11 is something too.
Yep. There's a scenario out there with who they're playing after this, where, you know, you could be talking about a team that's lost three or four or something, right? I mean, you drop this one, you get the bye week, then it's San Francisco, then it's a trip out to the Rams, and then it's Detroit. You know, you could, you know, but even that, Where is that going to leave you? I mean, you're still, you know, you'd be 9-5 there if that even happened, with the Patriots twice and the Jets coming up. So, like, I don't know. I'm not going to feel like they're in real trouble. And that's just it. Like, I know it could sound like I'm bracing for a loss. Like, you know, it's I'm in denial about it and I'm rationalizing it. I can't manufacture anxiety. Like, I usually have a lot of it about a lot of things without trying. So I make a habit of not inventing it, you know, with things that may happen. And I try my best to not get consumed by that.
Seems like good advice.
Sure. And the Bills, you know, in this case, you know, does it have me less than on my toes for this one? Absolutely. But that's what being comfortable does. So, and I neither would assume that guys on the team don't have some version of that. I mean, they know what their record is. Allen even said today when he met with the media, like, you know, being complimented about how well he's played against the Chiefs, like, yeah, great, but, you know, we got to do it in January, or I got to do it in January. I don't know what the exact quote was, but that was the spirit of the thing. And, you know, that could be a clue that they know that this game, while of course you want to win it, and I'm sure Allen wants to get the best of Mahomes and all of that, they know where they're standing right now, and it's in a pretty good spot. So, I don't know, you can't pretend that you have a real downside if one doesn't exist. And yes, not getting the one, or taking yourself out of the running of the one, is a downside. How urgent is it? You know, how realistic is it that I'm going to get it even if I get this game? Like, you just don't. That's why, for me, I would have been a very different sounding and feeling if that kick had gone through for Denver last Sunday. Because I'd be thinking about tying them and then just fending them off the rest of the way. I'm ahead of you now, and all I have to do is not lose one more game than you the rest of the way. And that would be everything for me about this game. I don't know that it would change much for the players or for the organization and their approach to it. But for me, it meant a lot. And without it, I'm just sort of, you know, okay, go get them. You know, I want you to win, but I don't know. I just cannot pretend that I'm about to fall into a volcano if there's no volcano there.
Yeah. Adding to this, too, is a point that's been made here for the last couple of days as well, is It's sort of backwards, but the tighter the race for the one by a win here equals the harder you push down the stretch. If you don't have that and you're not hell-bent on 2 versus 3 versus 4, then you can pull back, which in terms of the healthier players mm-hmm. is at least not worse. I mean, it's probably better to be able to do that. So there's a little bit of a volcano. There's a little bit of a, you know, a new challenge if you do win, which, again, so be it. But that's a benefit, for whatever it's worth, to a team that's sort of out of the one seed race but comfortable in the division. Is, I don't know what kind of form that could take. It's players resting later in the season. It's, you know, practice schedule. It just could be different things, strategy, different things you want to experiment with in games when they're just not all as important. So that doesn't mean you don't want to win, but it's just something that would happen, that would be available to the Bills if they were to lose. Thanks, Mike. Here is also Mike on WGR. Hello.
Hey, guys. Have a good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Called because that other caller that said that this is their Super Bowl and winning Sunday is more important than winning the Super Bowl. I don't know how you guys didn't give him a harder time, because that's insane. I think they're going to win on Sunday, and I think when they do, I compare Kansas City right now to what New England was when they went undefeated, and Brady and the Patriots were a lot more dominant that year than the Kansas City is this year. I don't see Kansas City winning out, and I think if we beat them, we've got the inside track on the number one seed. I'm a lot more worried about Pittsburgh. If they can beat the Ravens, I think the Ravens are a wild card. And, you know, I think Pittsburgh always gives us a tough time. But I think if we can win on Sunday, and I think we will, I think we'll get the one seed. Remember what happened last year where we were, like, trying to get a wild card and all of a sudden we were the two seed. I think Josh and, you know, the team's growing. Coleman early in the year wasn't as effective as he is now, and he'll come back healthy. And maybe we can even get something out of Bishop because I think we need some stronger safety play or something, the rookies. Milano comes back. Well, if we can stay healthy, this might be our year. They're looking good as far as I'm concerned. I think we should be more confident.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Bills will be in blue with white pants Sunday. White would have been fun.
Yeah, I like the all-white. That's my favorite.
In a home game?
Yeah.
With the Chiefs in red? That would have been fun.
Yeah.
But this will be the traditional
all right.
Bills look. Chiefs in white.
Not my favorite, red but pants. Better than the all. I'm not a fan of the all-blue.
Same.
It's not crazy.
We're too old.
Yeah, that's right.
We like the contrast.
Right.
We like football uniforms that have contrast. But all-white.
The all-white is my favorite, though. So.
Except for that.
Got that going for me.
All-red is your least favorite. Where's that been?
I think I actually like the all-red better than the all-blue.
Okay.
Maybe because it's just less frequent, but the all-blue just, I don't know, it just bugs me.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Paul coming up at 6. Catch up on the Sabres. There's some injury news. Next game, 7:30 tomorrow night at home against St. Louis. Philadelphia here Saturday. And then the Sabres go to California. Who scheduled the Sabres West Coast trip on the week of the Bills' bye?
Yeah, it's tough.
What are we going to do next week?
That is tough timing. That is right. Yeah, that's tough.
That is tough. Bad planning. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.